Okay. Chapter 24, Proverbs, verse 1. Be not thou envious of evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studies destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you shall make your war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that devises to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to man. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you forbear to deliver them that are drawn into death, and those that are ready to be slain, if you say, behold, we knew it not, does not he that ponders the heart consider it? And he that keeps your soul, does not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul when you have found it. Then there shall be a reward, and your expectation shall not be cut off. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man shall fall seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not yourself because of evil men, neither be thou envious of the wicked, at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin of them both? These things are also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that says to the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that gives a right answer. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterwards build your house. Be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and deceive not with your lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he has done to me. I will render to him according to his work. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travails, and thy want as an armed man. Let's go back and see what we got in here. Okay, be not envious, chapter 24, verse 1. Be not envious against, and literally the word against should be of. Be not envious of evil men. We shouldn't look at people that are accumulating things and wealth and popularity, notoriety, whatever you want to call it, in the world, and look at them and say, boy, I wish I was like them. Because you know what? They're more miserable than anybody could be, you'd think. More than anybody you'd think, anyway. Neither desire to be with them. See, I don't want to be where they're at, because I'd be just like them. And I wouldn't trade what I've got for everything they've got. I'm talking about the peace of mind. That's what God's talking to us about. He says, because their heart, or their what?
Mind.
The first word should be because. And it should be because their mind plots or devises violence. That's what it should say. Their minds plot or devise violence. And their lips talk of not mischief, but trouble. All they do is talk about. Do you know people like that's always talking trouble? They never talk of anything pleasant. They're always talking about something negative. Verse 3 goes on to say, through wisdom is what? It says an house, but wonder what we're talking about. How about the house? Aren't you the house of the Lord? So it should be the house. Through wisdom, the house is built. Not builded, but built. And by understanding, it is established. See, you build the house by wisdom. Through understanding, you establish it. And now, verse 4, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. We're not talking about physical things here, are we? We're talking about when we build the house through wisdom, and by understanding, we establish the house is going to stay there, make it firm, and by knowledge and that information that we gather through that wisdom and understanding, now we're going to fill all these chambers in my mind with the precious jewels and pleasant riches of God, right? It's the wisdom of God we're going to fill it up with, the knowledge of God. Okay, a wise man, verse 5, is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases what? His power. Knowledge is power. The world will even tell you, knowledge is power. What is the whole world striving for today besides money? We think it's money. But the knowledge shall get you what? Everything else. If you have the knowledge, what else can you get? Anything you want. Okay. So knowledge is power. That word should say power. A man of knowledge increases his power. Verse 6, because by wise counsel you shall wage your war. And a multitude of counselors there is what? Nope. Deliverance. Deliverance is what the word actually says. He, in the multitude of counselors, when we hear all the wisdom coming from all the people, we can make a decision from all that information and make the right decision. A lot better chance of making the right decision. Safety, our safety is of the Lord, okay? Right? So I need to be delivered, but the multitude of those counselors will bring me deliverance from my way of thinking the wrong way. Get me free. Verse 7, wisdom is too high for a fool. He opens not his mouth in the gate. In the old days, the men sat around the gates and discussed the things of God. But the fool can't speak about it. Why? He doesn't know it. He doesn't have the wisdom of God to speak about. So it's too high for him. He can't get there. He can't talk about those things. And when he's talking about too high, he's talking about elevation in the spirit. You know, it's too high for him to get to. Verse 8, he that plans to do evil shall be called a wicked person. That's what it literally should say. He that plans to do evil shall be called a wicked person. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Verse 9, the thought or the planning, the word thought should be, the planning of foolishness is what? King James says sin, but literally it should say offense. I think it's the Hebrew word chata, and it means offense. See, to plan sin is an offense. Now, I know people say under the law that there was still sin, but my book said he paid the price of the sin before the foundation of the world. So was there ever really a sin? Only we thought there was. So it was technically taken care of before man was ever created, wasn't it? He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
So the whole purpose of the whole thing is just to, for our benefit, teach us.
Didn't Paul write in the New Testament, everything was written for our learning and instruction? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it's here for. To help us learn. Or to remember, I should say.
Yeah.
To remember the truth. Verse 9, the planning of foolishness is sin, and the scorner or the arrogant, okay, the arrogant is disgusting to humanity or mankind. Do you know anybody that really likes arrogant people? I don't. And humanity in itself is arrogant, isn't it? It's just arrogant. It's disgusting, not an abomination, but it's disgusting to even the rest of humanity. You know, we're all on the same plane, aren't we? Whether we like it or not. We didn't start it. We're not going to finish it. We didn't volunteer to come here. God put us here for His plans and purposes, and they will prevail. All we did is if we realize that everybody's in the same boat. We're all on a journey. Verse 10. If you faint, and the word faint is not a good one, if you are slack, is what it should say, in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Should be limited. Your strength is very limited. That's what the New American Standard, I think, says it pretty well correct. It says it's limited. Okay. So if you faint in the day of adversity, or if you're or slack, means you're not doing what you should do, your strength is small or limited. Verse 11, if you not forbear, but if you refuse to deliver them that are drawn to death and those that are ready to be slain, and verse 12 goes with this as a context. You can't read them separately and get anything out of it. You got to put it together. It says, if you say, behold, we knew it not, does not he that weighs the thoughts of the mind understand it? And he that keeps your soul, does he not know it? And shall not he render to mankind what? The wages of his work? So what he's saying, if you refuse to deliver them, if you don't want to help people that are struggling in life, if you say that in your mind, well, I didn't know, guess what? You're only fooling yourself. See? God knows what you're doing. He weighs the thoughts and intents of our mind, not our heart. He weighs the thoughts of her mind. He knows what it is. He considers them. And let me go back to 11 again because something I left out of there. If you refuse to deliver them that are drawn to death, and the word death literally is the place of death, that are drawn to the place of death. And what is the place of death?
Carnal.
It's the carnal mind. So when I'm drawn into the carnality of this world, that's the place of death, isn't it? So when you see people going the wrong way, if you refuse to deliver them and those that are ready to be slain, if you say we knew it not, does not he that weighs the thoughts of the mind understand it? He knows, and he'll give you what you dealt with. You'll reap what you sow, right? And people think that the New Testament's the only place that's at, but there's the same thought process there. You'll reap what you sow. God says he'll render to every man according to his works. In multiple places, Old Testament and New. So God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't he? He doesn't change, and thank God for that. Verse 13, my son, eat honey because it's good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. What is honey?
Revelation.
The revelation. And then it goes on, 14, it goes right on with it. You have to read them together. 13, 14 go together again. So shall knowledge as we're talking about the revelation knowledge of God, of wisdom be to your what? To you or to your soul when you find it, right? And there shall be a reward, it should be, and there is a reward and your expectation shall not be cut off. So he's saying, when you eat of this knowledge of God, it'll be sweet to, knowledge and wisdom of. See, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be into your soul. When you understand this knowledge that God gives you, when you have found it or you find it, there is a reward, and your expectation shall not be cut off. That's saying, whenever you find it, God's going to give you an understanding. And what he gives you an understanding of, if it's truly God, that's never going to fail, is it? It's always going to come to fruition, whatever he gives you. Now, I know God doesn't give everybody the same thing, but God doesn't tell you it's north and tell me south. I mean, it's two opposite. You know, that's not God. So you hear a lot of people say, God said, or God told me, and you know what? Them things just aren't there. It's what they came up with in their emotions, their soulish thinking. They come up with some good idea, but not a God idea. And if you wait on God, he'll give you what you need. Okay? Verse 15, lay not wait, O wicked man. This is a warning. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous, and spoil not his resting place. What he's trying to tell somebody. Remember another place where he says, touch not my anointed in the Psalms, and do my prophets no harm? Don't mess with the men and women of God. Don't mess with them. You don't have to agree with them. You don't even have to like them. Just don't mess with them. Right? Wouldn't you think that'd be a good warning? They probably won't listen, but he's warning you anyway. I think it's funny. Because a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked man falls into misery, is what it should say. Misery. Now see, here's what they don't understand. A righteous man makes a mistake, falls, and he rises up. Seven, do you think seven is a literal number? It's a symbol. It's just a word of symbolism. It's a complete thing. However many times a righteous man falls, look at King David. How many times did he make a mistake in the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures? Many, 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 many times, and he couldn't count them all. The book would have to be twice the size it is now. But that's immaterial. The thing of it is, if your heart is toward God, you make a mistake, you learn from that thing. That's how you rise back up. You learn from it. You don't get in condemnation and guilt. You learn from your mistake, and you continue on. But look what the wicked man does. The wicked man does this, and guess what happens to him? He falls into misery. Why? Because he falls into condemnation and guilt.
And you look at that as not external, but like
internal. It's internal, yes.
The ego man is the wicked man.
Absolutely.
Trying to destroy the spiritual
man.
Mm-hmm. And once that
No, because of the misery. It's just misery in your life. When you get into condemnation and guilt by what your flesh does, you're in a bad way.
It's also in the natural world. These people who are always so miserable anyway, and they're always trying to bring everybody else down, but they just keep bringing more.
Well, there's a scripture says that there's some that can't sleep until, I think it's in Proverbs 6, in the early part of Proverbs, they can't even sleep till they've done their evil things. You know, they got to do it every day. They got to do things. And there's people that's just absolutely negative, and that's really their job. There's some that just absolutely cannot stand it without doing wicked things, and that's what God has put them here for. He created the wicked for the day of destruction, didn't he? It's okay. And we have to see that, and it's okay for them to do what they do. I'm not trying to change the world and change what God has placed here. I'm trying to learn what God has placed it in my life for. What's the purpose of it being in my life? There's a purpose for everything. So I got to find out the purpose. What's God's plan for this in my life, or what's in it for your life? That's what it's all about, isn't it?
The wise man, even though he falls, learns from his
and gets back up.
Yeah. It's goes on.
Not necessarily the cause, but why did it happen to me? What's the purpose in my life of this thing happening? It's not that I deserved it or anything. It's just, why did God put it in my life? What's he wanting to change in my life?
Yeah.
What's he wanting me to learn or to remember?
The reason.
All those things, you got to find out what they are. And that's how you stand back up again.
Well, you know, that slack part that you talked about earlier, I experienced that yesterday. Day when I had, you start getting slack or relaxed in your thinking, and when you do that, it causes an accident or a misunderstanding or anything, and you've got to be alert all the time.
Absolutely.
If you start falling lax, then it gets you in trouble.
Well, that serpent that hides in the grass, you know, how long does it take him to reach out?
Well, if there's something there for him to reach out after, he'll get it.
Anything comes along, he's going to strike at it, you know. And that's the whole thing about being awake all the time and watch, and the Scriptures tell us about it all the time. Be aware, like I was talking about last few weeks, about being aware of what's going on around you, and being aware that there's things starting to happen and set situations up, and you can see them coming if you're aware. And if you're walking around in that little bubble, you walk right on into them, you know.
Well, you know, when your mind has to be to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and then you're like, okay, this is my slack time.
Well, it's slack for that, but it's not for life.
Another word for being slack, wouldn't that be being complacent?
Complacence, another good word for it.
Kind of an awful lot of with me.
There's a lot of words that will fit into that. But we have to realize that this being alert that God's talking about is a continual thing. It's not a, okay, I can take the day off today. Well, even if I take the day off, I still got to be aware of my surroundings, don't I? If I don't, that serpent can come up and bite me anytime that it wants to. Just when Jesus, like when Jesus was in a temptation for 40 days and 40 nights, when he come out, he said, and the devil departed him for a season. That tells me, well, as soon as he was refreshed, that sucker's right back up snapping at him again, you know. And that's that carnal mind, that serpent thing. It had to lay down for a while because he defeated it in the battle, but it was still there with him. As long as we're in this body of flesh, we're going to have to deal with that serpent nature all our lives. It's never, and Jesus had to, then we don't get no buy free pass, do we?
No.
So we got to watch that thing all the time. Be aware of your surroundings at all times. And that's spiritually, mentally, physically, all those things, and it's in every aspect of your life, your job, your home, your relationships, everything. Just be aware. Sure, it's hard work. If it was easy, everybody would do it, wouldn't they?
You've got to guard yourself.
At all times.
Absolutely.
Even in professional sports, like when they box, they say, and protect yourself at all times, because even though a guy, the whistle blows or the bell rings, and the guy throws one more punch, he can knock you plumb out. Guess what? If he hurts you or disables you, you're just out. You lose. Even though he threw an illegal punch, you still lose.
They might penalize him, but
he'll penalize you a point, but you're unconscious or hurt and can't fight, and he's got you. So he's
finished fight.
So it's over. Yeah. So you've got to protect yourself at all times. Be aware. Just always be aware. Like I say, in every aspect of our lives. Okay, verse 17. Rejoice not when your, not enemy, but your adversary. And that adversary is your carnal mind, right? Be carnally minded is death. Be spiritually minded is life and peace. And let not your mind, not heart, but mind be glad when he stumbles. So when you see something that's giving you a hard time, even in a natural, that's what it's talked about, the natural, but we know it's referring to the spiritual, don't we? So we see somebody fall, don't be gloating because they're having bad luck, bad run of things. Just keep your mouth shut and go on with your life, because that's none of your business, is it? Let them go. Whatever happens, it's their business. Verse 18, lest the Lord see it and be displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Verse 19, fret not because of evil, neither be thou envious of the wicked. Said, don't let the wicked bother you. Now see, that's what I'm trying to tell. I've tried to tell people, and I have a strange way of saying it maybe, but I understand it. Maybe somebody else don't, I do. But I said, I don't care if someone goes out in the middle of the street, stark naked, stands on their head and stacks BBs all day in the middle of traffic. It doesn't mean a thing to me because it's not me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever someone else does is not my burden to carry, is it? You got to deal with your own life. I'm responsible for me. You're responsible for you, right? I'm not a sheriff. I can't do anything about what people do. So that's what it's saying here. Fret not because of evil. And the word men isn't even there. So don't worry about evil. Neither be envious of the wicked. Don't desire to be there because they're doing, looks like they're doing good. See? Don't worry about anybody else. To me, that verse is telling me, mind your own business and pay attention and be aware of your life. Okay? Just be aware of your own life. Verse 20. Because there shall be no reward to the evil, or the evil person, the evil man. But the candle or the lamp, and the lamp of the Lord, then that represents the spirit of the wicked shall be what? Put out. That means his light's going out. Okay? He's not going to.
It's
not mean death. He don't have any vision. He don't have any vision. The light goes out, what do you see? Nothing. See, he don't see anything. Proverbs 17:2. Let me back up and read that one. It says, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and he'll have part of the inheritance among the brethren. See, there's the reward. part of the inheritance. Well, guess what the inheritance is? Genesis 15. What's the reward?
I am.
I am your great and exceeding reward. So God is the reward, so that's all we have to worry about. I get the reward. If they don't get it, it's their business, isn't it? Did we earn it?
No.
No. It's God's choice. It's not that we did anything. We're not better than anybody else. If God gives it to us, you can't. If you try to earn it, you're missing the mark completely. Something God gives us, and then it's free. And if you think you've earned it, well, then you've not got it probably to start with. Okay. Verse 21. My son, you revere the Lord. Not fear thou the Lord, but you, it should say, you revere the Lord and the king. And then it says, and meddle not with them that are given to change. And that's not what it says. It should say, fellowship not with them that are given to change. Now, you think he's talking about someone who changes their clothes or their hairstyle or their shoes? He's talking about someone who don't know their direction. That today they're going this way and tomorrow they're going another way. And every day they're changing something else. We all know people like that. You know, God said today we're going this way, and 15 minutes later, no, God said go that way now. And for the days out, God said, no, go another direction. And the next day he said, no, God said go straight up. No, he said go straight down. You know, we've all known people like that. They can't get it right because they're trusting that thing in their own mind instead of letting the Scriptures and the Spirit of God teach them the correct way to go. And if God is not changeable in the same yesterday, today, and forever, then why are they always changing directions? See, they really don't understand, do they? Verse 22, because their misfortune, not calamity, but their misfortune shall rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin from them both? These things also belong to the wise. It's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. That belongs to a wise person. A person that possesses that, not to judge a person, have respect of persons in judgment, that only belongs to a wise person, according to the Scripture, right? That's just one thing. And he that says to the wicked, you are righteous, him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. They're giving you wisdom right there. If you cover up someone's wickedness and say they're good, try to cover it up, you're not going to get anything good out of it, are you? Again, you reap what you sow. But to them that not rebuke, but correct. To those that correct people. And there's a right way to correct and a wrong way to correct. There should be an attitude of humbleness and humility whenever you correct someone, not barking and biting and chewing on them. Because when you bark and bite at people, they don't hear you. They don't receive what you have to give them. Even if what you're giving them is right, the spirit driving it is wrong. So they're not going to receive it. Like it says in Proverbs, a brother offended is harder to be won than a city or a castle with iron bars. See? So you got to make sure that the person hears you first. If you offend the man or woman, they're not going to hear you. But if you make them your friend, then they're going to hear you probably. If you use the right attitude about it, you can talk to them and correct them. But to them that correct him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. If they receive the correction, they're going to get some good rewards, aren't they? And I don't have a problem with being corrected, but again, it's got to be in the right attitude. Anybody can correct me, and that's fine. And I will receive the correction if it's done correctly. If it's someone comes at you barking and biting, I'm no different than anybody else. I'll just shut it off and say, you got the wrong attitude, and God didn't send you to me. If God's speaking through a vessel to correct me, he'll come with a spirit of humility and humbleness, won't he? Because that's God. And he will tell you what he wants you to do, and you will hear it, because you'll know it's of God. But the barking and biting doesn't come from God. Verse 26. It says, every man kisses his lips, and that's not what it says. It should say this, he kisses the lips that answers correctly or with integrity. That's what that verse should say. And that, who are we talking about? God. The Spirit of God will kiss, and that's that intimate relationship there. The lips. He kisses the lips that answers correctly or with integrity. That's God, isn't it? Okay, verse 27. Prepare your work outside and prepare it for yourself in the field, and afterwards build your house. There's a lot of work to be done outside before you can bring it in. Verse 28. Be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and deceive not with your lips. That's pretty straightforward. Don't be a witness against your neighbor. If he hasn't done anything, don't make up lies against him. Leave him alone. And deceive not with your lips. Don't be telling lies. Just shouldn't have to do that. If you tell the first lie, you're going to have to tell a second one. If you don't tell the first one, you don't have to tell a second one. So just stop lying and tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may and go on. Verse 29. Say not, I will do so to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. That's throughout Scripture, that God will render to every man according to his works. It's in the Revelation. It's all through the Old Testament. Take the time to read the whole book, and guess what you'll find? Many places. I went to the field of the slothful or the lazy, and by the vineyard of the natural man, the Adamic man, lacking what?
Understanding.
The word understanding here is the word lab, L-A-B-E. It means heart, but what is the heart symbol of? See, nobody can be lacking a heart because they wouldn't be breathing, would they? They'd be dead. So it's not that it's symbolism. It's lacking the mind or the understanding. Okay, we're talking about the mind. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And what do thorns symbolize?
Curses.
And nettles. That's all thorns and thistles or nettles. That's all curses. And had covered the face. And the word face here is panim, which is speaking of the identity. So this guy's vineyard, and what is his vineyard? It's him. So his identity was grown over by the thorns and the curses, you know, that humanity brings upon itself. So guess what? He had no identity who he was. And the stone, wonder who that is. And the protection or the stone wall around the vineyard, and that's Christ, the stone, isn't it? Was all broken down. Now, was God disabled? No, he just wasn't protecting. He just wasn't protecting. He wasn't getting any protection out of it. He did nothing right. Okay? Verse 32 goes on to say this. And then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Now look what he says. Then I saw and considered it. And the word considered it well means to set your mind upon it. Okay? To set your mind upon it. And I looked upon it and received not instruction, but I received correction and discipline. When I looked at this man's condition, it taught me something. Sure it is, to that natural man. Just like I said years ago, I've said it many times, I ran into a man years ago, and everybody thought the man to be very ignorant, unlearned, uneducated. But the man taught me something. It learns that I can learn from the dumbest man in the world. He can teach me what not to do. But this man actually taught me something. It was wisdom involved in what he taught me. And we have to realize that if we judge somebody and not hear the whole thing out, we're in pretty bad shape. We need to hear them out, whether we think they're wrong or not. Hear them out, because one more word might correct it and tweak your thinking process, mightn't it? Just one more word. Let them speak. Let them have their place. When they get done, then you can judge it when you get the full picture. Don't judge them too quickly. But he received the correction instruction. That means he did hear it out. He did see what was going on. He saw the condition of the man who didn't do what he should have done, who didn't take care of his house or his vineyard. Verse 33, yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. What does that tell you? A little sleep, he's just saying, just a little more sleep, a little more time to lay here, a little just relaxing. What's that tell you? Huh? Lazy, but it's very subtle the way it comes on you. you know, like the people that get up in the morning and they turn the snooze bar on for 5 more minutes, and when the 5 minutes goes off, they 5 more minutes. And it's just 5 minutes. But you do that about 12 times, and how many you got? An hour? You're an hour late. See? The best thing to do is start. The hardest part of any journey in life is the first step. Hardest step is the first step of any journey we go on. And once we start, my dad taught me as a kid, he said the hardest part of a job is getting started. Same principle. You can say it a lot of different ways, but it's the same principle. Get started. Do what you're supposed to do. If it's time to get up and go. Because staying in bed won't change the fact that you got to go. And you have 5 more minutes, it's not going to make you or break you. Get up and get started. And you know what? When you do that in the morning, when you just pop out of bed and go ahead and do what you got to do, your attitude in the day is a whole lot better. But when you lay around and try to suck 5 more minutes of time out of that day and get 5 more minutes, 5 minutes ain't going to make you right. Just get up and go, and your whole attitude about life will be so much better in the day. Just do it. I think Nike says that, don't they? But God said it first, so that's all that matters. Okay, verse 34. And he's saying the ones that do this stretching, always trying to get the extra stuff, the lazy way of doing everything. So shall your poverty come as one that travails, and your wants, or literally needs, okay? Your needs as an armed man. So the things you need are going to come and rob everything you got because you're lazy. If you're aggressive and doing what you're supposed to do, you're always going to be provided for, aren't you? But when you're lazy, something's always going to pop up. Do you ever notice people that are lazy? How it seems like their cars are always breaking down, their houses need repaired, everything is just always breaking down. Why? They don't take care of anything. See? They'll do it tomorrow. And it never gets done until it breaks down. Preventive maintenance is the cheapest maintenance there is. Instead of waiting until your tires are completely bald, when they're down to a quarter tread, get them out of there because they're going to cause an accident. They're going to cause a blowout at high speed, run over a little tiny nothing that wouldn't have hurt any other tire. It's going to blow a tire, maybe kill somebody. You know, tear your vehicles up. Your brakes are getting down. You know you've got 30 or 40,000 or 50,000 miles on them. Replace them. Time you took it down to check it, another half hour you could have put the brakes back on. Yeah, just go ahead and get it. I mean, simple things like that. Rather than putting them off, just get them done. And that's just, like I said, preventive maintenance is not just about physical things. It's spiritual things. It's mental things. It's everything. Just go ahead and do it. See, everything. Like being aware. Be aware of everything. Physical, spiritual, mental, everything. Just be aware and prepare for it. If you do, guess what? You won't have near the issues everybody else has. People will look to you and say, now how do you do it? And then you can tell them, I'm aware of my situations. I'm aware mentally, physically, and spiritually. I prepare mentally, physically, and spiritually. And if you do that, you can have the same route as me because God's no respecter of persons, is he? It's that simple. Just being prepared. And that's that for the day, unless anybody has any questions. But that's chapter 24, and he's beginning to prepare us for all the things we need in life. And that's what this book of Proverbs does. It prepares us for our life.